and it's hard to single out anybody. Banks was great. Willie Mays was great. Henry Aaron was great. Roberta Clemente was great. Musa was super.
And I talked to someone.
Any of them.
I talked to someone just a little while ago, and asked him that question, and he said that he couldn't answer. He just have to go down each team and name you two or three off each team.
Yeah, it's basically, I tell people who write me letters, I say, look, you just go back and look over those rosters, and you see who has been picked in the Major League Hall of Fame and who will be picked in the future, and it's guys who played in the same year I played.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the time when I first discovered baseball and first started following it closely. I loved the game. I wish I would have been better and been able to play it. But in looking back, and I follow it closely still, and it just doesn't seem that the talent, you take half the teams today, excuse me, half the players today couldn't have made a team in your day.
Oh, I would say, I'm going to tell you something. My first big league salary was $4,000.
Oh, boy. That's meal money.
I made more money in my first big professional basketball. Oh, one of the greatest things that I'm pleased about in my entire sports career is the fact that I was the first Major League Baseball player who played Major League Basketball at the same time.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That was the first.
Okay, that's right. I guess you were. There have been a handful since then.
Conley played a little bit. Dick Rhodes played one year. That was after. And then...
Ricketts played, didn't he?
He was after that.
Yeah. Reed, he was a long time after that.
A long time after that.
Yeah, I'll be darned. I didn't realize that. And you were... A lot of the guys that played both may have been pretty good at one, but not so at the other. But you were a 300 hitter in one and an all-star in the other. So you...
I was very pleased with that.
Yeah.
I always thought I was a basketball player who became a baseball player.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job at it.
Yeah.
Steve Hamilton did both, pitched for the Yankees and played for the Lakers. He's the athletic director at Morehead State here. It's about 60 miles up the road from us.
That was later.
Oh, much later. He said that basketball has changed. He said that the guys that played baseball 30 years ago could play baseball today and probably do a better job than the ones playing now. He says the basketball players that played 30 years ago, he doesn't know if they could play in the game the way it is now. How do you feel about that?
Well, basketball has changed. You know, in the days that I played, the basketball itself changed. You know, the baseball in major leagues never changed.
Right.
But the basketball changed. The basketball became much smaller and became a more perfect sphere.
Uh-huh.
And the changes, the big changes that came about were the youngsters coming up. You know, the kids who played in the alleys and on the dirt and the ashes and all that stuff.
Right.
They grown up and especially in the bigger cities. You know, in the neighborhoods where the only place you could go to do anything would be out in the basketball courts. And as the years went by, the more affluent whites gave way to the eager and fast-growing blacks who turned
right.
out to be the better basketball players.
By far.
And you look at the... I'm watching the NCAA while I'm talking to you. And you see, most of them are black.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to tell you, not only can they run, they can shoot, and they can jump. That's what happened. The court stayed the same, you know, the sizes mm-hmm. of the courts and everything. The basketball became different. You know, this basketball they're playing. playing with, you could almost put two of them just side by side, and they'd both drop right down between them.
I didn't realize that that was a fact, but I thought it. I thought maybe when I was a kid, it just seemed different. But in playing with the basketball my son plays with and his friends, it seems to me to be so much easier to handle than the ball that I had when I was a kid.
Smaller, these guys, they're 6'7", 6'8", 9'10", and then their fingers are longer. I got a pretty big hand, and I can hold that ball in one hand. But just think what they can do with it with a bigger hand.
I can throw a forkball with.
Yeah, well, they take off at the top of the key and run with that ball and dunk it in and hold that ball like it's a sponge ball.
Yeah. That's amazing. And well, back in your day, a 6'4" guy was a center.
Yeah.
And today, a 6'4" guy is the short guard.
Okay.
I don't know what they're feeding them, fertilizer or something.
Well, there's still room for that little guy. I'm looking at a couple little guys that are playing in this North Carolina game here.
There's some good little guys.
In Arkansas. They're under 6 feet. I'm looking at two of them on the court right now.
Who's going to win the tournament this year?
Well, I picked, to me, the team that I think that has the best overall talent is UNLV.
I think so.
But they get a little scattery and they're going to get beat.
A little bit loose sometimes.
They throw the ball away too much and get a little careless.
Well, I picked Georgia Tech. I thought UNLV may be the best team, but I picked Georgia Tech in a pool. time will tell on that.
Georgia Tech's got a great team.
Yeah, I like them.
I like Connecticut. I like UNLV. I like Georgia Tech. But I also think that Michigan State, who won the Big Ten, even though they played bad basketball the last few games, have a better team, and they'll give Georgia Tech a run for it.
Oh, I think if Tech can get by, then they've got a real, real shot at it.
Yeah, in the little pool that we have, I have eight teams that are in the top 16 left.
Oh, you're in good shape. Well, I'm down to, I think I've got four teams left. So, it's fun. Well, fortunately, it doesn't cost too much money to do that. who was the best pitcher you think you saw?
Who?
The best pitcher.
Oh, my God. See, there you
go. Same question, I know.
It's the same situation as before. You take all those teams. My God, the Johnny Thain, the Warren Spahn, the Robin Roberts, the Kurt Simmons, the Magleys, the Jansons.
Well, one of the answers I get a lot was a teammate of yours, so you may not have faced him, Blackwell.
Oh, Ewell?
Yeah.
I saw Blackie in St. Petersburg a couple weeks ago. I played on both of those. I played the right field when he pitched that no-hitter, and I was playing right field when he almost had, he was 8 2/3 innings going into the second no-hitter.
Uh-huh.
And,
who got the hit?
I can't remember.
I remember reading
Jackie
it.
Jackie Robinson or Frankie Gustine or somebody.
It was somebody that you wouldn't, I don't remember. It may have been Gustine.
It was Jackie Robinson.
Was it? I don't. I've read it.
Maybe not.
I guess when he was on, he was as good a pitcher as he was.
Yeah, well, being a big, tall guy, and his delivery, it almost made him look like the ball was coming out of between the third baseman and the shortstop.
it was. Did you ever bat against him?
So he hurt his arm. When I went to the Cubs, I batted against Blackie, but he had already hurt his arm.
But you were a left-handed batter, which gave you a little edge over the right-handers.
And he had already lost it, I think, because of arm ailments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kidney removed too, didn't he?
The pitchers in those days, there were some great, great pitchers.
Was there a pitcher that was particularly difficult for you?
Well, the one pitcher that I'd say overall was tough in regards to getting base hits was Robin Roberts. I used to hit the ball hard off of him, but most of the time it was at somebody.
Mm-hmm. It didn't help. Was there any
ones are easy, but when you're struggling a little bit, even the ones that should ever get you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Things go good, they're good.
Baseball is funny, you know. When you're going good, you see the ball well, you can hit anybody. And when you're not, anybody can get you out.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is lose a little of that timing, and it's like, you know, hitting a golf ball. It just seems simple. There's a ball that sits on the ground, and you got a strange little club in your hand, and you liken it to a hammer and a nail.
Mm-hmm. You bend a lot of nails.
Off of that ball, you're going to tear your fingers off.
Yeah.
You missed the ball. It's a matter of concentration.
Yeah, I think that...
You're going to ask me questions, and all I did was do all the talking.
That's good. That's what we want. What about changes? There have been 50 years since you started playing baseball. They've got unions, they've got television, they've got artificial surfaces, they've got indoor baseball, they've got designated hitters, they've got gloves big enough to pick peaches with.
Yeah, well, all those changes have helped the modern-day player. I'm going to tell you, I was the up-the-middle hitter. And if they had the turf, the synthetic turf in my day, I tell you, I would probably hit 20, 30 points higher in batting average.
Well, that ball zooms through and that stuff.
Yeah. You can tell the uniforms change, even the bats change, you know. In my day, practically every bat you saw was a Louisville Slugger. Some of these bats that they use out there now, I've never heard of.
They've got a whole slew of different ones out there now, yeah.
The thing I hope never happens in big leagues is that the aluminum bats come in. That would be bad.
That, you know, when you get a guy like the size of Mark McGwire or somebody, swinging at it, if a pitcher stood any closer than second base, he'd be foolish. He'd get his head knocked off, somebody swinging a metal bat at him. I'm with you. I can't imagine them ever doing it.
Well, they've done everything that they tried to do to make it easier for in many cases, you know, average ball players to play in the big leagues. I don't know. Well, maybe if the dilution of the players there, and, you know, when I played, there was only 8 teams in each league. So you had a total of about 400 players.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know how many teams.
It was 26 teams, so there's, like 650 or something.
Yeah. 10 more teams, and they're thinking about increasing it.
Yeah, what they say, it's all but increased now. It's just a matter of choosing the cities.
Yeah, well, when... you start adding that many teams, you know, your talent kind of dwindles.
Yeah, I think they say that the population has grown faster than the amount of major league ball players has grown, and that may be true, but there's evidently only so many that the good Lord's going to give us that's going to have the ability to play it. There's guys I know playing now that... and they're making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, but if they wanted to be in baseball, they'd be bat boys back 40 years ago.
You're right.
In your career, did you save souvenirs?
Well, I tell you, when my wife was alive, of course, in the early part, she used to save a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got some memorabilia around. But not much. As my son grew up and the kids discovered that his dad was a Major League Baseball player, they had him scrounging around the home, and he cleaned my wife's cedar chest out of all kinds of what would today be sensational memorabilia.
Oh, yeah, I bet invaluable, too. Do you have your baseball cards?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the ones I can fine. That's my wife Betty. She had all those cards.
Mm-hmm.
She had them, and they were all in mint condition in the cedar chest, and that's what he gave away to all the kids. I have cards. I have. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine a few years back said he was living across the river from Cincinnati. Was worked for some insurance company before, and he used to go to all the card shows down in that area. And he told me one day, says Frank, he said, "I'm trying to find your registered cards. I have 9 registered cards, but I have about 8 or 9 others that aren't registered that are in circulation. One of which I use myself. You know, when people request a photo."
Mm-hmm.
I had one that I had made up when I was with the Phillies years ago. And he says, "I'm going to find your cards," and he says, "I'm going to put them in a frame, and I'm going to give that to you as a present to you from me." And I said, "Super." And it's exactly what happened. And it's hanging up in my living room.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Some friends of mine came over and found it and stuck it up on the wall in my living room while I was in Hawaii visiting my son. But anyway, I started to tell you, in St. Petersburg, right next door to cross street from the hotel where we stayed, right next to Al Lang Stadium, was a new facility called the Bay Center. And they had a big card show in there. And my youngest daughter came up from Pembroke Pines, just about 20 miles west of Fort Lauderdale, came up to St. Petersburg to spend Saturday afternoon with me, Saturday night, and she'd go back Sunday. And, well, the other alumni went to the dog tracks and everything. I took her to across the street to the card show. And on the way over, she said, "Dad, you suppose that we'll be able to find any of your baseball cards over here?" And I said, "Honey, I doubt it." I said, "Well, this is St. Petersburg, you know." And I said, "You might find them up home, but I said, I doubt you'd find any of them down here." So we go in a place, and we are not in there 5 minutes, and she said, "Dad, I see one of your cards."
No kidding.
And I said, "You do, or?" So she said, "Right here." So she said to the guy, she says, "Can I see that Frank Baumel's card?" And down there, we had they gave us badges, you know, to every place we went so that they would see that we were Major League alumni.
Mm-hmm.
I had that badge right across my chest here with my name on it. And while she's talking to the guy, he's looking at me, you know. And she said to him, what's the price of that card?" He says, $25.
Wow.
And I said, "Honey, it's not worth $2. I said, "You don't want that card." So we bantered back and forth. Finally, he wanted $20, and we started walking away. And I said, "No, don't buy it." And as we were walking away, he said, "You can have it for $10. Just, he said, before I could say no, she said, "I'll take it." So she paid $10 for the card, and then I gave her the money after we walked away from the guy. I said, "Here, I'm not going to let you buy one of my cards. I'll give you the $10. $10 back." So back about 50 feet and going into the show there, she says, "Dad," she says, "here's another one of your cards." I said, "The same kind?" She says, "No, it's a different kind."